Today is March the 10th. Wait a minute. March the 9th.
March the 10th.
March the 10th. You'll keep me straight. 2009. And Mark wanted to do a study on, what was it?
Jesuits.
The Jesuits. Now, there is a reason why it's real important to understand a little background of the Jesuits. You know, there's a lot of devious, perverse goings on in the world, and specifically within the Roman Catholic Church. And if you've never done any study on the Jesuits, after tonight you'll know a little bit more about them. The Jesuits are a military religious order of the Roman Catholic Church. And I did say military order. When a Jesuit of the minor rank is to be elevated to command, he is conducted into the chapel of the covenant of the order. And when there are only three others present, the principal of the superior standing in front of the altar, on either side stands a monk, one of whom holds a banner of yellow and white, which of course are the papal colors, and the other a black banner with a dagger and a red cross above a skull and crossbones with the word INRI, and below them the words Ustrum and Nicar, Regis Impius, the meaning of which is, quote, "It is just to exterminate or annihilate impious or heretical kings, governments, or rulers." Now, upon the floor is a red cross at which the postulant or candidate kneels. The superior hands him a small black crucifix, which he takes in his left hand, grasps by the blade, and holds the point against his heart, the superior still holding it by the hilt, and thus addresses the postulant. "My son, heretofore you have been taught to act the dissembler among the Roman Catholics, to be a Roman Catholic, and to be a spy even among your own brethren, to believe no man, to trust no man, among the Reformers to be a Reformer, among the Huguenots to be a Huguenot, among the Calvinists to be a Calvinist, among other Protestants generally to be a Protestant and obtain their confidence, to seek even to preach them from their pulpits, to denounce with all the vehemence in your nature our holy religion and the Pope, and even to descend so low as to become a Jew among Jews, that you might be enabled to gather all information for the benefit of your order as a faithful soldier of the Pope." So these people are spies, and they will take on any kind of name and act the part to supplant and to bring down. And it goes on, it says, "You have been taught to insidiously plant the seeds of jealousy and hatred between communities, provinces, states that were at peace, incite them to deeds of blood, involving them in war with each other, and to create revolutions and civil wars in countries that were independent and prosperous, cultivating the arts and the sciences and enjoying the blessings of peace, to take sides with the combatants and to act secretly with your brother Jesuit who might be engaged on the other side, but openly opposed to that which you might be connected, so only that the church might be the gainer at the end and the conditions fixed in the treaties for the peace, and that the end justifies the means. You have been taught your duty as a spy to gather all statistics, facts, and information in your power from every source to ingratiate yourself into the confidence of the family circle of Protestants and heretics of every class and character, as well as that of the merchant, the banker, the lawyer among the schools and universities and parliaments and legislatures, and the judiciaries and councils of state, and to be all things to all men for the Pope's sake, whose servants we are unto death." So they recognize that these Jesuits are the servants of the Pope. They're not worshiping Jesus Christ, they're worshiping the Pope. You have received all your instructions heretofore as novice, as neophyte, and have served as a coadjutor, confessor, and priest, but you have not yet been invested with all that is necessary to command in the army of Lo Iola in the service of the Pope. You must serve the proper time as the instrument and executioner as directed by your superiors. Now, it's interesting because in this oath, they even use scripture to try to justify the means. They said, for without the shedding of blood, no men can be saved. In other words, they justify murder. Jesuits even justify the murder of other people. Now, this extreme oath, especially some of the oaths that are taken, is pretty startling what they have taken and sweared to. Now, we're told in Scripture that we're not supposed to swear. Yet let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. We're not to be swearing oaths. Here's part of some of these oaths. Now, in the presence of Almighty God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Blessed Michael, the Archangel, the Blessed Saint John the Baptist, the Holy Apostles of Saint Peter and Saint Paul, and all the saints and sacred host of heaven, and you, my ghostly father, the Supreme General of the Society of Jesus, founded by Saint Ignatius Loyola in the pontificate of Paul III and continue to the present day, do by the womb of the Virgin, the Matrix of God, and the rod of Jesus Christ, declare and swear that His Holiness the Pope is Christ's vice-regent and is the true and only head of the Catholic or universal Church throughout the earth, and that by virtue of the keys of binding and loosing given by His Holiness, by my Savior Jesus Christ, He hath power to dispose heretical kings, princes, states, commonwealths, and governments, all being illegal without His sacred confirmation, that He may safely be destroyed, that they may safely be destroyed. And it goes on to say that they will defend the doctrine against all of these, against the Protestants, especially the Lutherans of Germany, Holland, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, the churches of England and Scotland, the branches of the same, and the continent of America elsewhere, and all adherents in regard that they may be usurped and heretical, opposing the Sacred Mother of the Church. I do now renounce and disown any allegiance to the Protestants or liberals, or obedience to any laws, magistrates, or officers. And it goes on and talks about that. I may go to any part of the world, whithersoever I may be sent, to the frozen regions of the north, the burning sands of the desert of Africa, or the jungles of India, to the centers of the civilizations of Europe, or to the wild haunts of the barbarous savages of America, without murmuring or repining, and will be submissive in all things whatsoever communicated to me. Well, in confirmation, I dedicate my life, my soul, my corporal powers with this dagger which I now receive. And it goes on and says that I will make war secretly or openly against Protestants as I am directed to do, to exterminate and exterminate them from the face of the whole earth, and that I will spare neither age, sex, or condition, and I will hang, waste, boil, fillet, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics, rip up the stomachs and wombs of their women, and crush their infants' heads against the walls, in order to annihilate forever their execrable race. And This just shows that amazing, isn't it? These people are now the Bible. Christ told Peter that those who live by the sword die by the sword. When Peter took the sword and cut off the servant of the high priest's ear, Christ reprimanded him for it. But yet we have this military order of the Roman Catholic Church, the Jesuits, who are taking these kind of oaths. Now here's some interesting things that they asked them as a part of this ceremony. You will now rise to your feet, and I will instruct you. In the first place, you as a brother Jesuit will another mutually make the ordinary sign of the cross as any ordinary Roman Catholic would. Then one crosses his wrist, the palms of his hands open, and the other in answer crosses his feet, one above the other. The first points with the forefinger of the right hand to the center of the palm of the left, the other with the forefinger of the left hand points to the center of the palm of the right. First then with his right hand makes the left side of his body just below his heart. The first then with his right hand draws it across the throat of the other, and the latter then with a dagger down to the stomach and abdomen of the first. The first then says, Lustum, and the other answers, Nikar. The first, Regis, the other answers, Impius, the meaning of which has already been explained. The first then will present a small piece of paper folded in a peculiar manner four times, which the other one will cut longitudinally, and opening the name of Jesu will be found written upon the head and arms of the cross three times. You will then give and receive with him the following questions and answers. From whither do you come? Answer, the Holy Faith. Question, whom do you serve? Answer, the Holy Father at Rome, the Pope, and the Roman Catholic Church, universal throughout the world. Question, who commands you? Second, the successor of Saint Ignatius Loyola, the founder of the Society of Jesus or the Soldiers of Jesus Christ. Question, who received you? A venerable man in white hair. Question, how? Answer, with a naked dagger, I kneeling upon the cross beneath the banner of the Pope and of our sacred order. Question, did you take an oath? Answer, I did, to destroy heretics and their governments and rulers, and to spare neither age, sex, nor condition, to be as a corpse without any opinion or will of my own, but to implicitly obey my superiors in all things without hesitation of murmuring. Question, will you do that? Answer, I will. Question, how do you travel? Answer, in the bark of Peter the fisherman. Question, whither do you travel? Answer, to the four quarters of the globe. Question, for what purpose? Answer, to obey the orders of my general and the superiors and execute the will of the Pope and faithfully fulfill the conditions of my oaths. Question, go ye then into all the world and take possessions of all lands in the name of the Pope. He who will not accept him as the vicar of Jesus and his vice-regent on earth, let him be accursed and exterminated. This is what these people take. This is the oath they take. In other words, anyone that speaks against the Pope or doesn't proclaim him as the vicar of Christ or the vice-regent on earth, let him be exterminated. Now, the oath of the Knights of Columbus and the Knights of Malta and Rhodes Scholars, by the way, as you know, Bill Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar, but it's all based upon the oath of the Jesuits. Now, I want to read you an excerpt. Now, this is actually from the Congressional Record of the House of Representatives, dated in February 15, 1913, where the oath is entered in as purported to be the Knights of Columbus oath. I, now in the presence of Almighty God, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Blessed Saint John, the Baptist, the Holy Apostle Saint Paul, Peter and Paul, and all saints, sacred hosts of heaven, and on and on and on. And it goes on and talks about, it's the same basic oath. Um, And it says, I will assist and advise all of any of His Holiness's agents in any place where I should be. Switzerland, German, Holland, Ireland, or America, or in any other kingdom or territory, I shall come and do my utmost to extirpate the heretical Protestant and destroy all the pretended powers. Well, what do you think about this? Do you see the utter folly that man goes in and worships someone else like this? Now, he goes on and says that if they don't follow through and do their oath, there is a consequence. He said, if I prove false or weak in my determination, may my brethren and my fellow soldiers of the militia of the Pope cut off my hands and feet, and my throat from ear to ear, my belly opened, and sulfur burned therein, with all the punishment that be inflicted upon me on earth, and my soul shall be tortured by demons in eternal hell forever. This is the oath these people take. Well, he says that I will not deal with or employ a Protestant. That I will place Catholic girls in Protestant families. That a weekly report may be made of the inner movements of the heretics. That I will provide myself with arms and ammunition, that I may be in readiness when the word is passed, or I am commanded to defend the church, either as an individual or with the militia of the Pope. Now, there's also oaths that are administered to the Illuminati based upon the oath of the Jesuits. Now, we've talked about the Illuminati before, and people wonder, well, why is Larry Spinelli? Well, you need to know that these principalities of darkness are amongst us. And they will come as you know, like they said, they'll take on all these different faces. Some of them will be Protestants. They'll act like they're Protestants. Some of them will be Baptists. Some of them will be lawyers and medical doctors and accountants and all kind of people. But their purpose is to bring down anyone that does not proclaim the Pope is the Vicar of Christ. Now, this oath administered to the Illuminati is based on the oath of the Jesuits. Before the oath is administered, it is said a sword is pointed at the breast. Shouldst thou become a traitor or perjurer, let the sword remind thee of each and all the members in arms against thee. Do not hope to find safety whithersoever thou mayest fly. Shame and remorse, as well as the vengeance of thine unknown brothers, will torture and pursue thee. Then, in the oath which follows, he swears eternal silence and faithfulness and everlasting obedience to all superiors and regulations of the order. I renounce my own personal views and opinions, as well as all control of my powers and capacities. I promise also to consider the well-being of the order as my own, and I'm ready as long as I am a member to serve it with my goods, my honor, and my life. If I act against the rules and well-beings of the society, I will submit myself to the penalties to which my superiors may condemn me. In the name of the Son crucified, i.e. the pentagram, the Illuminized man, swear to break the bonds which still bind you to your father, mother, brothers, sisters, wife, relatives, friends, mistresses, kings, chiefs, benefactors, and all persons, to whomsoever you may have promised faith, obedience, and service. Name and curse the place where you were born, so that you may dwell in another sphere, to which you will attain only after having renounced this pestilential globe, vile refuse of the heavens. From this moment you are free from the so-called oath to country and laws. You swear to reveal to the new chief, recognized by you, that you may have seen or done, intercepted, read, or heard learned or surmise, also speak for and spy out what your eyes cannot discern. And it goes on and on and on. Okay? It says, live in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of Illuminism. Kabbalistic and Gnostic. They're part of the Kabbalah. That's what the Illuminati's about, the Kabbalah. The Father, the generating fire, the Holy Spirit, the great Mother Nature. See how they replace the Trinity? Well, the manifestation, the astral light of Illuminism. Okay? Well, there's a lot to be said about these kind of oaths. A lot to be said. There's an awful lot of there's a correlation of same kind of oaths that go on between the Masonic Lodge and the Masons as well. It says here in the Jewish Encyclopedia points out that Gnosticism was Jewish in character long before it became Christian. And a movement closely connected with Jewish mysticism. The Kabbalah is the key of the occult sciences. The Gnostics were born of the Kabbalists. And those who will take the trouble to examine with care the connection between Judaism and philosophic Freemasonry, theosophy, and the mysteries in general will cease to smile in pity at the suggestion that Kabbalistic theology may have a role to play in the religious transformation of the future. And we can see that going on right now. The Kabbalists are very active in the shaping of the thought of society. Now, I'm not going to get into the book, the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion and all of that. I'm not going to get into all of that. If you want to do research on that, you're welcome to do that. But one of the things that we can just do a brief little summary here to bring this to conclusion. The Templars had two doctrines. One was concealed and reserved to the leaders, being that of Johnism. The other was public, being Roman Catholic doctrine. And the Johnism of the Adepts were Kabbalah of the Gnostics. But it degenerated speedily into a mystic pantheism, carried even to idolatry of nature and hatred of all revealed dogma. They even went so far as to recognize pantheistic symbolism of the Grand Masters of Black Magic. And we see that the affiliations were very esoteric. And there was a lot of astrologers. And we see also that the companions were those of the Templars, the Rosicrucians, the Carbonari, the Jesuits, the Freemasons, Benaiah Birth, the Knights of Columbus, the Sufferances, the Lodges of St. John, the Royal Priests, the Masters of Wise, the Asiatic Brethren. They all appeared to form an uninterrupted chain of these superior affiliations under the name of the Illuminati, under the directing power of the invisible earthly beings. So, I just wanted to give you a brief overview of some of the oaths that are taken of the Jesuits, which is a military order of the Roman Catholic Church. And if you don't believe that, this is documented. This isn't just something that I pulled out of the sky. This is actual oaths that the Jesuits take when they become a part of that order, the military order of the Roman Catholic Church, and swear allegiance to that the Pope is the vice regent, the vicar of Christ. Father, we pray that you would take this information and use it to expose these that would come against your Christ and against the true Jesus Christ, those who are Antichrist. We ask this in your name for your glory. Amen.